The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Several years ago, a leading Church of God minister stated, and I quote, "We will be kings and priests in the millennium. Are you qualified to teach others today? If not, you are not ready to meet Christ." It's quite a statement, isn't it? Now, I don't know that we would completely, totally agree with the statement 100% as it is stated. However, I think we certainly can know and certainly can understand and accept the fact that this concept is correct. So with stating that this concept is a correct concept, then I think it would be a good idea for each one of us to ask ourselves a question. Would we, or maybe we should make it personal, would I be able to teach others if Jesus returned today and the millennial reign began now? I'll give each one of us a moment that we can think about and meditate on this particular very important question. Please go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 5. You're going to be familiar with this passage. In fact, you're going to be familiar with many of the verses that we read today as we look into this, I believe, a very important topic, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For are because everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." I want to read these two verses, or read these three verses, 12, 13, and 14, out of the New International Version. It's not necessarily a better version, but I think it does somewhat make it a little clearer for us in our English today. It says in verse 12, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers," that's pretty straightforward. It says, for the time when you ought to be teachers. I mean, it's like, what does that mean? And then this one starts off and it says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need one to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food." So it's pretty straightforward. And that's exactly how I want to approach this, is pretty straightforward. Verse 13, "Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." So I want to ask you a question, and I actually want you to think about this question. Where are you in this at this time in your life? You know, where are you in this? Let me offer a few questions here to consider. Are you an infant? Or are you mature? Or are you somewhere in between? Now, I am dealing with it from the perspective of being a teacher ready to teach someone else, yes or no. Are you an infant? Are you mature? Or are you somewhere in between? Another question to think about is, does it really make a difference? And then even maybe another, I think more important question might be, does it matter about being a teacher or not? Brethren, the answer to these last two questions that I've posed is yes, it does make a difference. And as a result of this, as we begin this sermon today, I'd like for us to examine some passages to this important topic of being a teacher. Let's begin by making some, what I'm going to consider, some basic statements or posing some questions. And then we want to take a look at some of these passages, trying to fill in more information to the statements or to the questions, whichever the way it might be presented here. The first one I want us to take a look at, number one, is I'd like for us to look at some of the qualifications of teachers. Generally speaking, at least here in the United States, one chooses to major when they go to the university or go to a college. They choose to become a teacher. However, what we see from God is He is the one who chooses those that He wants to become teachers. So we see right off the bat that there's a major difference here. The way an individual becomes a teacher in, say, the world, and the way that a person becomes a teacher serving God and His people. Or, as we stated from the opening question, the millennium is coming, Jesus Christ is going to reign, and are we going to be there as kings and priests? Are we going to be ready to teach? Go with me to John chapter 6 and verse 44. We know this. But John 6:44, it says, "No man can come to me." The me in this context is Jesus. He's the one who's doing this, the speaking. "No one can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." We're called. We have been drawn by God the Father and given over, as it were, to Jesus Christ for Him to work with us. And one of the things, this is not the only thing, but one of the things that He is working with on is that we will be ready to be a teacher when Jesus Christ returns back to the earth. We have been called. We have been chosen by God to be those teachers. Go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. "And has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father." And now Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. I know I'm going pretty fast right here, but we know these verses. We're familiar with them. But let's go to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Brother, that's teachers. I mean, we can call it different terms. I'm using it in the terminology today is that's teachers. We're going to be there as a kingdom of priests. We're going to be there. We're going to be there as teachers. Who are we going to be teaching? Everybody else that is not part of by this time of the family of God for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, we're going to be teachers. We're going to be teaching others God's way of life. We'll get more into that as we go along. The second thing that I want us to take a look at is let's see a comparison between teachers of today and those teachers who are chosen by God. All too often, the teachers in the world, and I'm really not putting down teachers, people who choose to go into that profession, this is not a put down of them at all. I'm just simply looking at a comparison here. But I want us to understand that all too often they teach that there are no such things as absolutes. Now, I'm not going into a lot of detail into that. They teach a lot of great things, but they also teach this because we really can't get a handle on everything. And so they come to the conclusion that in all too often what they wind up stating is there are no such thing as absolutes. Somebody who's been chosen by God to be a teacher knows that's absolutely unfounded. That is not true. Because God teachers will use the Word of God, which is absolute truth. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we begin in verse 1. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you." So here it is. God has set it up. Moses is telling the people. God has set it up that you as the people of God will be taught the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. That's just a restating of those verses, but that's what it says. "That you may do them in the land where you go to possess it." That you will not only just be taught the information, but you will have information that is useful, information that will be beneficial to you. You will use it. You will be doing something with this information that you are being taught. Verse 2. "That you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's sons all the day of your life, and that your days may be prolonged." Here's the reason to physical Israel. We're teaching you these things being the commandments, the statutes, the judgments of God, the way of life of God. And you are to teach it to your children. And the reason is that your days will be long upon the earth. Now we carry that over into those who are looking at being teachers in the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual blessing that we're going to be teaching in this same way. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Do what? These teachings, the things that you've been taught. That it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers have promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. And as I said, that's spirit life in the kingdom of God for those who are being trained and taught as teachers today. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. How do we know how to do that? Because we have been taught, we are being taught the way of life of God, the commandments, the statutes, and judgments. That's how it states here. How do you think other people are going to get to know how they will love God with all their heart, mind, soul? Because they will be taught the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, the way of life of God. The same things that we've been taught today. Verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. We are to internalize this. And you shall teach them diligently. It's not just to have the information. Yes, we're taught so that we can take the information, that we can pass it on to others, even here and now, even here and now in this life, that you will teach them diligently unto your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It means in every situation, you will look for opportunities, you will look for places to teach them the way of life of God. That's what ancient Israel was told. That's what we are told. And this is exactly why we are to internalize it and have it within us, that we can teach others when that opportunity is there. The Word of God has been, without hesitation to make this statement, it has been the intended instruction manual since Israel was a nation. Now, I know they didn't have it as a book at that time. They were writing it. They were the first five books. They were living it, and they were being told this. And Moses was writing it down, and it was being preserved. And the people had it rehearsed to them as we have it available to us, and we can rehearse it over and over. It is to be our manual today also, and it will be the manual that is used in the millennial rule of Jesus Christ. Let's go to John 17. And verse 17, you know this verse, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. You remember what the comparison is that we're looking at here in this particular point? Is the teachers of the world, too often they make the statement, unknowingly they will make this statement because they don't know the Word of God. They don't know where truth is, and so as a result, as they say, there is not absolute. Implying that we can't come to the full knowledge of the truth on this. And the answer is, yes, we can. Here's what we need to understand. The people will have been required to be teachers for a long time. And we are commanded to teach God's word, which he states is truth. So there is a major difference. Major difference. Let's move on. My third point, number three. The next point, number three. What is the big difference between God's teachers and the world's teachers? Well, I just showed you one of the big ones. Absolute truth of God. For one thing, we, those who are being taught the way of life of God, who will be a kingdom of priests and teachers in the kingdom rule of Jesus Christ, the first point I see is that we will be motivated by brotherly love. What I mean by that is, as a result of that, we will be driven to really study and learn the Word of God, which is our source of knowledge. We are going to want to learn it so that we will have them that we teach to have the same love for God, the same love of the Word of God, so that they too will come to the place that they know that they too are sanctified and your Word is truth. That they will come to that. So many people in the world today do not know that. They do not understand that. And the fact is, we will have the love of God first in our lives. In fact, we saw that when we were reading back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, whenever it says that we will put this in our heart, and when we says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. Don't want to disappoint you any of you whenever we say that we're to love God first. That's the first place I think that most of us think about turning. So let's go there. The A part of the first part of the verse says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're to be seeking God first and foremost in our life, before everything else. Does that mean before everything else? The answer is before everything else. In reality, what we're going to be teaching is love. What we will be teaching is how to love. And it will be done through a system where we will be showing or demonstrating love. We will be demonstrating love to other people. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, verse 1. Galatians 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Verse 2. But is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. We're under teachers. We're being taught. We're under tutors and governors. People are teaching us today. We're learning today so that we will be, when we are ready, when the time is appointed of the Father, that we will be teaching others what we're being taught now. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So we're to be adding these things. These are things that we're supposed to be having. These are things that we're to be having in our lives today. And one of them is knowledge. We're to be increasing in knowledge. The knowledge of the Word of God is primarily what this is obviously talking about. Verse 6, and to knowledge, we're adding to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Do you see there's a progression here? We learn this, we gather this in, and we have all of these things, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives, that we get to the place that we have, ultimately, we're going to have brotherly kindness, or we're going to have charity. We're going to have brother love. We're going to have love for others because we're going to want them to know the same things that we know, because we're going to want them to have what we have available. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, if they're growing, they make you that you should neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a major, major difference in a teacher who is taught in the world and someone who is being taught that we will be a teacher in the kingdom of God. Let's move on. Our next one, this is number 4 if you're numbering them. Because of the fact that of John 6:44, God the Father calls us, turns us over to Jesus Christ to work with us. Point number 4 is we can ask to be taught. That's a major difference also. Because we have been called, we can ask to be taught. Go with me to Psalm 25 and verse 4. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Now, question. What do you think happens? Someone has been called by God and he wants us to have this knowledge of God. It's called the Bible. It's recorded for us there. What do you think happens if we ask God to teach us more about Him and His way of life? What do you think God does? He teaches us. He teaches us. Let's move on. Number five. Our teacher will be God. Now, more specifically, that God being is Jesus Christ. Our teacher will be Jesus Christ. It is not someone who's looking for tenure. You know, what they look for in universities. Because what we're being taught is not necessarily elementary teaching, junior high, or high school. We're being taught college level. This is, I mean, you know, you have to look at it in that way. And that's where you go in the world to become a teacher. And then they become teachers, and they look for tenure. They look for a chosen path, and there's a lot more information to that, but they work for that purpose. That's not why we're working for. That's not what our purpose is, that we will have tenure, is because it is not someone who's looking for that. That's not who our teachers are going to be. Our teacher is going to be God. Go with me to Psalm 32 and verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you, and the way that you should go, I will guide you with mine eye. Isn't that an awesome verse, whenever you think about it? That the one before is, we can ask to be taught, and he says, and I will teach you, and this one says, I will instruct you. God speaking. And we understand back whenever this is being stated, we understand that this is a being that we refer to as Jesus Christ. This is the Son. I will instruct you and I will teach you in the way that you should go. Let's move on. And these original points that I'm giving you here of, I said they would be in statements and or questions, and then we'll look at passages. This is the last one I'm going to do here. And this is number six. God will teach us the all-important subject of fear of the Lord. Because when you boil it all down, that's one of the main things that we need to be taught, is the fear of the Lord. I'm not going into the topic of fear of the Lord today, but I am going to show you that that's what it says. In Psalm 34 and verse 11, go with me to Psalm 34 and verse 11. Come, you children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. When we really understand that topic, and like I said, I'm not going into the purpose of the sermon. It's not to talk about fear of the Lord. The subject of the sermon today is to talk about being teachers. It's really the summation of what we would want to be taught, what others need to be taught. It's, like I said, it's just a way of summarizing it. And so it's an awesome thing that God will teach us that all-important topic of fear of the Lord. I want to give you at this time a collection that I've gone through in doing some research for this sermon. It is a list of the characteristics of a good teacher in the world. Some of the best teachers they have are going to share what I would consider to be a unique set of qualifications or qualities about them. What they say is all good teachers are going to have these characteristics. And I just got them as points. You don't have to write them down. You can just listen to them. If you want to try and write them, that's fine. A desire to educate people and act as a positive role model. Now, ask yourself, did you ever have any of these teachers? Now, I went through this list, and as I collected this and got it together, I thought about some of the teachers that I had, and I thought, yeah, I might have had a few. Many who had some of them, maybe two or three in my entire, you know, life as a student, all the way from the first grade all the way, you know, through college degrees. I've had maybe one, two, or maybe even three who had probably most of these. A second one is an ability to work with students from diverse backgrounds and abilities. As you go through this list that's saying the best teachers will have these, think about why this would be an important quality for a teacher to have. Just think about it. The next one, they will have interest in helping people learn. Another one, they will have enthusiasm about their subject matter. Another one, they will have strong interpersonal and organizational skills. The next one, the ability to work unsupervised. The next one, creativity, energy, and patience. The next one, they will display self-confidence. Remember, these are the best teachers. This is not any old teacher. These are the best teachers from the world standards. And the research that I did in preparing this, it shows not a lot of teachers acquire this, all of these. You know, this is the ideal, but they don't have that. They don't have them. It's not that many. We go on. A good teacher will be a consumer of knowledge. They're going to continue to learn. They're not going to be stagnant. A good teacher is prepared. A good teacher listens. And one more, a good teacher is a motivator, will motivate others. And brother, here's the point. When we see from the Bible what is that godly teacher is going to look like, what we will see is they also will have all of these characteristics and more. There is not one of these qualities that a teacher of God would not possess. They would have every one of these and more. The Apostle James tells us that teachers will receive the harder or the greater judgment or condemnation. He says that over in James chapter 3 and verse 1. So is it somewhat of a warning in saying, be not many teachers because you're going to receive the greater condemnation? But think about the reward. You know, not everybody is going to be able to do this. And that's the point. Not everyone's going to be able to do this. And when we consider the damage that can be done when a teacher teaches wrong information from a biblical point of view, I'll use the word teaches false doctrine to a student, then I think that we can see why there is no wonder that James would include this statement. The Apostle Paul admonished Timothy and us with these words in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. So I think that we can make the statement without a doubt, being a teacher is very important. I mean, after all, when you really think about it and you put it into context of this particular verse right here, if a teacher is not giving vigilant attention, really worthwhile, really paying attention to what they are teaching, both the teacher and the student could be lost. That's what this verse is telling us. So I think it's very, very important to be a teacher who is knowledgeable, who understands, who pays attention, and who is vigilant in their attention to what it is that they're actually teaching. I know personally, and I know you could probably all come up one at a time and give, you know, statements about teachers that you've had or people who, as I would consider it, received a paycheck, call teacher, but they were not in teachers at all. They didn't even understand the subject matter. I mean, there have been times that I've been in school that I know that there were people who did not really understand. I think they studied the night before what they were going to teach tomorrow. And that's all they did, and they were one page ahead, and they just had the notes to go by. They did not know what they were doing. And you've probably had some teachers like that as well. That's not going to be true here. It's not going to be true here. So I think that we can see that it is very, very important. Okay, at this point, what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of break it down even more so from the point of view of some Bible qualities of godly teachers. We'll just give a statement, take a look, some verses, make some comments. The first one is honesty and a profound dedication. Honesty and a profound dedication. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 and verse 6. Romans 8 verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A Bible characteristic or a Bible quality of a godly teacher is going to have, they're going to be honest and they're going to have a profound dedication. In other words, they're not going to be carnally minded in how they deal with what they're dealing with. They are going to be spiritually minded because they know that the end result is life and peace, not just to themselves, but also to the students that they are imparting information to, giving them information. This is an important thing. Another principle is back in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I'm just going to read the A part of the verse. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the A part says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Here's the point. We can only teach what we are. In other words, what we think about, what we know. Again, in other words, we must be living what it is that we're teaching. It has to be something that is internalized. Remember way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it said that we would put this in our hearts, that we will internalize this information. This saying the same thing. Because that's really what you're going to teach. You're going to teach from the heart. You're going to teach what we really know. This is, remember, these are Bible qualities of a godly teacher. This is something that's going to be there. Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, you know these verses, but I want to put it in this context. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James 1 and verse 22. These are the passages that deals with being a doer. And so you know what it is, but let's go there. Verse 22. "But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself, and he sees himself, and he goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." He forgets what he looks like. He forgets who he really is. What he is with inside. This is what it's talking about. "But whoso looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues therein." This is not talking about teachers, but I'm going to make this from the point of view of comparing it as worldly teachers and godly teachers. The one is going to look into and they're going to walk away and they forget it because they don't really have it internalized. It's really not that big of a thing. It's a job. But a godly teacher is not going to do it that way. They're going to have internalized it. They're going to be living it, and they're going to be teaching what they live. "He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work," or a doer of the word, "this man shall be blessed in his deed," or blessed in his doing, because he is doing these things. I think probably most of us have heard the old statement or adage, that those who can do, those who can't teach. The statement may be true with worldly teachers, but this is not a true statement with godly teachers. Here's the reason. Because godly teachers will be teachers because we are both. We are both doers who can do. We are doers because we are doing, and therefore we are teachers because we can teach, because we are the doers. And that's the right way that this should be. It should be the teachers who are the ones, they're the doers, therefore those are the ones who'd be teaching. And that's what it's going to be in God's kingdom. The next point that we want to look at, the next biblical characteristic is, a godly teacher is going to be strong in Bible knowledge. That's almost like a no-brainer, right? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Again, you know this verse. Many of you have this verse memorized, and that's a good thing. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we are to be proficient with the word of God, and not only in what the Bible says, but also in how to apply it into our lives so that we can then teach it to others how to apply it in their lives. On every one of these, we can say a lot more, but I want to move on to the next characteristic, biblical characteristic of a godly teacher. The next one is be resourceful and creative. We need to be resourceful and creative. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. And we're going to read verses 5 through 8. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, as I read this, I want you to think about this characteristic of a godly teacher. They're going to be resourceful and they're going to be creative. Okay, that's the point we're looking at. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen, with lifting up their hands, and when they bowed their heads, they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then in verse 7, and this is in Jehu, and it has all these others, and the Levites drop down, cause the people to understand the law. That's the point that I'm getting to. Cause the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. Verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Resourceful and creative. Now here's the point. Here's why how I read the, I mean, there may be other passages, but this one is a very clear one to me and the way that my mind works. Not everyone is going to learn the same way, and not everyone is going to learn at the same rate, and we understand that. And so we have to give the Word of God, we have the law of God distinctly, and we have to give the sense of it so that the people can understand it. And sometimes we have to do it in different ways for different people, because of background, because of education, because of lack of education, because of a whole lot of things. But it has to be done. So we state resourcefulness, creativity is very important. And so as a result, we will wind up using different methods so that we can help others learn. We will be resourceful and we will be creative. I hope that none of us think that Jesus Christ returns, and as we pray, thy kingdom come. We want him to, we ask him to, and he's going to come, and we're going to be changed in a moment of twinkling of an eye at the last trump, and there we are, and we're going to be there, and we just because of being here or being in another congregation somewhere, we're going to automatically know how to teach, and we're going to just be teachers. I hope we don't think that that's the case. I hope that we understand that we're in a training ground now. We're being taught now so that we can learn, so that we can teach then. And so there's actually important things for us. We learn differently today, and so therefore, people at that time are going to learn differently as well. What are they going to come from? We don't know. Many of these people at that time who are going to be the physical beings that are carried over, that are alive from this world and to that millennial rule of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, they're going to be absolutely traumatized. And we're going to be there as a kingdom of priests teaching the way of life of God to them. We're going to have to have different methods, so we're going to need to be resourceful and creative. The next point, these godly teachers will show joyfulness and enthusiasm and other things. You'll see why I'm using other things in just a moment. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. We are instructed that we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Enthusiasm is another word for rejoicing. It may not be the exact word, but it has the sense of it. But now I want you to go Galatians chapter 5, and you'll see why I'm saying they're going to be showing, demonstrating joyfulness and enthusiasm and other things. This is where that comes in. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So, brethren, what we're seeing is we have this in our lives now, and we will use this in our lives when we have these different characteristics of God's Holy Spirit, and we will use every one of those characteristics, every one of those aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit when we are teaching in the kingdom rule of Jesus Christ. And here's the other point. We are being given opportunities today to develop the necessary characteristics of being a godly teacher. We each one take on and have the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and all of those things in our lives, and it comes about to us in different ways. But we're going to have every one of these. We're to have it now so that we can be growing in it now, so that we can learn how to use it now, so that we'll be able to teach it to others when they receive the Holy Spirit. Let's move on. The next one point is they will be compassionate and gentle. Compassionate and gentle. James 1:27. Again, this is another verse that most of you are going to be familiar with. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Please also understand, being compassionate and gentle means more than simply understanding the person's needs. It also means doing what we can do to provide those needs for someone else. And that verse just said so. Said in a different way, but that's what it says. Why would you visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions? What would be the purpose of it? Do you just go in and go, okay, I'm here. Okay, now I'm gone. Is that what it is? I don't think so, and I don't think that's what you think it is either. But it is showing, it is learning compassion, and it is learning to be gentle, not only simply understanding what the person's needs are. If a person is in this situation, their needs are they need to be visited. As I've said before, the affliction to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, the affliction is being a fatherless and a widow. And they need to be obviously visited. That's a need. But it also means doing what we can do to remove as much of that need as is possible, to help defer some of the pain that is there. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 35, and I'll show you a scripture that I'm applying here, and I think you can see the principle. Acts 4:35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Is that our heart? Being compassionate and gentle, that's going to be the heart. This is going to be that type of... There's going to be others as well. There's going to be other verses that we could put on every one of these and take it in a lot of different directions. This is just the way that I'm taking it here today. So I think that we understand that there are more... In fact, there are many more of these characteristics that is like this, but I think we get the point, because I'm not trying to do an exhaustive study on this topic. I'm trying to get it out there so that we can think about it, that we have it ready on our mind, and if we need to have more training individually, then we'll look for getting it. If we're at the place that we're going to teach others how to get it, then we'll be teaching others how to get it. Here's the point. We are being trained today to be teachers in God's coming kingdom. The opportunities are there today. I mean, there's so many different ways that it's already there. At the beginning of this sermon, I made this statement. Several years ago, a leading Church of God leader stated, We will be kings and priests in the millennium. Are you qualified to teach others today? If not, you are not ready to meet Christ. We might not completely agree with the statement. However, the concept is correct. See, we all know that we've heard we're going to be teachers in the kingdom. But the point I'm asking is, what are we doing about it? If you're going to be a teacher in the world, even if it is those who can't become teachers, they still go and they train to be teachers. How good they are is not my point. What kind of training they get is not the point. My point is they go and they get trained and then they get a stamp of approval. You're a certified teacher. Go teach. Whether they're qualified is not my point. Do we even do that? Do we even consider that that's what we're doing? Now, our teaching is going to be much more important than the world's teachers. And I think we all, by this point, understand and accept that. They get a certificate. They go and they get a stamp that, yes, you're a teacher. What do we do? Do we, as I said earlier, do we just simply believe that we're just going to wake up one morning changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and we're going to be changed, and we're going to be teachers, and all that we need to know is there? So, brethren, I think that we all should understand that Jesus Christ is doing his part in offering us what I have labeled as teacher training today. He's offering it. He's doing his part. So I think there's a couple of questions, two or three questions that we might need to ask ourselves. Are we taking advantage and using the opportunities that we are being given? Do we even look at these opportunities as teacher training? Or is it sometimes we look at these as being, woe is me, this horrible thing is happening to me, as opposed to looking at it that Jesus Christ is allowing this to happen so that we will be better teachers because we get the point, we get the lesson. How are we looking at these opportunities that we're given? And then a final question is, we need to ask ourselves, am I ready to teach? The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.